He took them that very hour of the night. And I know the text says the following, but it summarizes he gave them grace. He washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. And that's not where the text stops. And he brought them into his house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household. Because he received the grace of God, because he was filled by the grace of God, what did he do? Was he just baptized? Did Paul and Silas say, well, man, we've rejoiced with you? You know, sometimes this happens after baptisms. There's like that awkward moment. You don't know what to do. Like, do we go out for ice cream? Do we just like say goodbye? Like, what do I do? Well, he didn't get baptized and then go on his merry way. He said, you're coming to my house. I'm going to feed you. Because you've given me grace, I'm going to give you grace. Because you've given me a gift, I'm going to give you a gift. Because you reached out to me, I got to reach out to my family. Because you were reconciled to me, I get to be reconciled to God. Because you shared the greatest thing you could have shared with me, I'm going to share the least I can and give you something to eat. I'm going to bandage you up. How do I get to that point? How do I become someone who is outpouring grace? How do I become a grace dispenser? How do I, who I know I'm filled by the grace of God because I've been forgiven of my sins and have salvation, how do I give that gift to other people? Well, I think in order for us to be grace givers, first, you've got to receive the grace of God. If you haven't received the grace of God, if you haven't tasted of the kindness of the Lord, that's where you got to start. But I think many of us here have already tasted that grace. We've already tasted that. That's why you're here on Tuesday. I can't really read my watch, so it's an analog watch just because it's cool, but that's why you're here this morning on a Tuesday, because you understand the grace of God. But you're someone who wants to give this to others. What do you have to do? You first have to sacrifice for the good of others. You have to sacrifice for the good of others. You know that because you've been given God's grace, because you've been forgiven, because you've been made whole, complete, perfect, you can now begin to work from a place of abundance. You can reach out to others because God reached out to you. You can work together with a body of believers because you've been added to the body. You get to offer other people the opportunity of forgiveness because you've been forgiven. You get to share your lives with other people because God shared the life of his son with you. We don't have time to do this. The word grace, the word that's used there is found 17 times in the book of Acts. And I encourage you to go and find all those times. If you don't know how to do that, do you want to find the word charis? I can show you an easy tool to go and find all these passages. I love to teach people how to read and study the Bible. It's just a super cool study. But we've got to challenge ourselves to make sacrifices for the good of others. Let's go back to an account that, again, we are very familiar with. Acts chapter 4. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul. More than 3,000 people, because 3,000 were added at the day of Pentecost. They've been adding to their number daily. More than 3,000 people, he says, are of one heart and soul. I don't know how many y'all have here at Temple Terrace. But I would guess it's well over 400, right? Can you say of the group at Temple Terrace that's just well over 400, we are of one heart and one soul? We are of one mind? I think that's incredible. Like, I don't know how they did that. But they are one heart and one soul. And not one of them claimed anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord. Notice this, because I didn't notice it for a long time. An abundant grace was upon them all. Because they knew of the grace of God, they were like, I'm going to give grace to other people. Now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And the implication is he brought everything to the apostles. Can you imagine that? Being a Jewish person, the land was your heritage. That was your identity. That's where you where we're able to show, look who I am. I am someone. And he says, I'm going to sell that. I'm going to give up my heritage. I'm going to give up my identity. What I was, it doesn't matter because I know what I am now. I'm going to lay it at the apostles' feet. Man, he could have gone on a great vacation, right? He says, no, I'm going to lay it at the apostles' feet. What's mine, I'm going to give to other people. Acts chapter 6, or 16. Go to Acts chapter 16. Notice how Acts chapter 16 starts. Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 1. Paul also came to Derbe and to Lystra. And a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer. But his father was a Greek. And he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted this man to go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Timothy is an interesting man. I don't know how old he was. We'll say he is as old as my buddy Corbin over here, okay? So these people hear of you and your faith. And Paul's like, hey, look, a lot of us have been sacrificing a lot of things to, like, go and preach the gospel. You want to give up your summer to, like, come preach the gospel with us? You want to leave mom and dad to come preach the gospel with us? And you think about this, and you're like, you were just stoned and left for dead in my hometown. I'm good, man. Timothy said, I'm going to give up the comfort of my youth. I'm going to give up the comfort of my home. I'm going to give up the comfort of not having a target on my back. Because I want to be dedicated to outreach. I want to be dedicated to reconciliation. I want to work with these men because I have something to give. And he is willing to give up a lot to go with these men. What am I unwilling to give up? What am I so ready to hold on to that I say this is off limits? When it comes to sharing the gospel, my time is valuable. Wednesdays and Sundays, I'm happy to do outreach. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday through Saturday, those are my days.
Barnabas was willing to not only give up physical things, but he puts his own reputation on the line. One of the things that I've learned is don't give recommendations out, like, handedly. I've had people call me, and they say, oh, hey, you know, so-and-so listed you as a reference. And I'm like, they did? I'm like, well, I don't know that I want to give them my backing, you know? Because why? Why don't we want to put our reputations on the line? Because we know if they perform poorly, that's a reflection on us, right? Barnabas said, when everyone has said, no, we can't trust Saul, he said, I trust him. He can come with me. He stands up for Saul and he defends him. Who did the disciples know was willing to go to Antioch from Jerusalem to help Gentile converts? Barnabas. Many of us do moves, right? Our brother Choco talked about that yesterday. Sometimes we move from place to place. Why do we often move? Well, a lot of times it's jobs, right? I have a new job opportunity. It's got better hours. It's got better pay. Or I'm going to move to Texas because I can buy a lot of land there. Is that why Barnabas went to Antioch? Was he going to get a better church with better elders? Was he going to an established work? Was he going to a place where he was going to be more loved and cared for than in Jerusalem? But because he follows the pattern of grace, he said, I got God's grace, and I'm going to go give God's grace. I want you to take some time to think about the place you would never move to and see if you'd be willing to go there, to go help grow work there. I'm just going to confess to you. That was me in Tampa. When I left Tampa in 2012, I said, I'm never coming back. No disrespect to anyone, I don't like Tampa. And I remember getting the call from the elders here at university saying, we want you to come here. And I said this, and I said, can we move the work? Because I don't want to go to Tampa. We're filled with God's grace. The other thing we need to do, if we're going to be grace givers, we have to see and seek the best in others. Barnabas is going to a work that is going to be difficult. And what did he do? He brought along Saul. He sought the best for Saul. And he worked with Saul for over a year, for an entire year, it says, Is that easy or hard for you to do, to seek the benefit and help someone else grow? Has anyone ever done that for you? What is special about grace givers, what's special about Christians, is that we are willing, or we should be willing, to see the good in someone. Love believes all things. And when we see any ounce of good, anything good in someone, we push it to its fullest potential. There are people that have seen God's grace in your life. And you know what they see? They see something you don't. But they want to cultivate it, and they want to accentuate that. Brethren, you know why I'm a preacher today? Because in 2012, I left a church that I'd been worshiping at for 3 years. And I came to Temple Terrace. I was here for barely 8 months. And when I was leaving Florida College, I get a call. I lived down the street at a house I was renting. And I remember being in that driveway. I got a call from a guy in California who said, Don Truex recommended you for a preaching internship. And I was like, really? I remember talking to Don. I remember saying, Don, this guy said you really liked my preaching. And Don was like, yeah, I do. Don, I've never given a sermon. All I had ever done was a few invitations here. All I'd ever done was 2 Lord's Supper talks, and they were Sunday nights. I didn't even get Sunday morning. And some of y'all are like, yeah, you still wouldn't get Sunday morning, bud. But Don said, I see something in you. Just go try it out. And I did. And I agreed to do it for a summer. And then a church heard about me, and they're like, hey, will you come work with us? And it was a bilingual group. And I'd never done any bilingual work. I said, yeah. I agreed to come and work with them for a year. And that year turned into 9 years. Those 9 years led me here to be with the group at university for now almost 2 years. And I say this to the glory of God. 51 baptisms in almost 2 years. And they are not people coming out of the pews. Less than 10 of those baptisms have come out of the pews. Converts. You want to know about the gospel that changes people's lives? I've seen gospels save marriages. There's a guy who I studied out with in California. He left, like he left his family, abandoned them, was gone. We had no idea what happened to him. He called me. He said, hey, I need to talk to you. I went over to his house. We studied. He said, I've messed up. That guy is now a few months away from considering leaving to go be a preacher in his home country. That guy. I've seen gospels. I've seen the gospel bring people who were on suicide watch, who they were so low that they didn't have any hope. And the gospel gave them hope. These people were dedicated to teaching. Acts 11:26. They saw the best in others. And that didn't mean ignoring flaws. They knew they needed to grow. They knew they needed help. So they taught them. There are people who believed in me. And you know what they did? They taught me. They said, you need to do this better. The reason I became a Christian was because someone said, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing with your life? The reason I'm as effective as I can be is because someone has said to me, look, try this. Think about this. I believe that you're here this morning because these are things that people saw in you. People saw some sort of good that was already at work, and they cultivated it. And all that the Word of God is asking you to do is to do the same for others. Recognize the good in others. Fuel that in others. Motivate others. Instruct others. Guide others. Be a mentor to others. Rebuke some. Exhort some. Cry with some. Listen to some. Put your arm around someone's shoulder. Everything that Barnabas and Paul did was fueled by the grace of God. And they continued to spread the grace of God. And the last thing is that they were there for each other. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them, all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. And he, Barnabas, left for Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for an entire year, they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. The best way I could summarize this last section is to serve others. If we're going to live lives of grace, if we're going to be good stewards of God's grace, we've got to employ it in serving one another so that God may be glorified through us who have been reconciled to him through Jesus Christ. You can only do this if you engage with your brethren. You can only do this if you come together outside of this building. You can only do this if you listen to one another's pain. You can only do this if you're paying attention. Some of the studies that I get are because I look at someone, and maybe you're not this brash, but I am. I've looked at people and been like, man, what's your burden? Like, you look burdened. And I always say, and they always say, like, no, I'm not. And I'm like, well, you look it. And guess what? That simple question is so effective because all of us this morning have a burden. We all have something in the back of our minds that is weighing on us. And all it takes is for someone to ask, what is up? What is wrong? Let me help you. And guess what? When people say, I'm fine, they're not. They're not. We've got to be gracious with one another. We've got to be gracious up to open up our lives, to show people the warts and the scars so that they can be gracious and help us. And we're going to close with this, these last two verses. This is so cool. At the end of Acts 15, we have this account. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brethren in every city which we proclaim the word of the Lord to and see how they are. He wants to go back. He wants to circle back. Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them. But Paul kept insisting that we should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. So here was a guy who said, yeah, I'll go with you. I want to do this work. But along the way, he missed his girlfriend. He missed his mom. He missed his food. He missed his bed. And he's like, I got to go back. This is too much for me. And so he leaves. And now
Paul has the opportunity to reach out to him, to be reconciled, to work with him, and to share this grace with him. But Paul says, look, I can't do this. It's too much for me. Barnabas says, I'll do it. And if Barnabas doesn't do that, then we never get this from Paul later on. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you. For he is useful to me for service. Someone was there for him. I guarantee that you're here this morning because someone was there for you. The reason we're here right now and we are reconciled to God is because someone was there for you. They sought your good. They saw good in you. They pushed you, and they sacrificed for you. This is a high standard to live up to, isn't it? I don't know if this is what you think about when you think about what it means to carry the name of Christ. But it is hard to live this out. It's hard for Paul. And brethren, I'll tell you, it's hard for me. So what is going to fuel us? The grace of God. I love Peter. I love Ephesians. My wife was like, you would squeeze in Peter and Ephesians. I was like, that's right. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. You know why they were first called Christians in Antioch? It's not because they were great. It's not because they were knowledgeable. It's not because they were so pure. It's not because they obeyed perfectly. It's because of the grace of God. If we are people dedicated to outreach, cooperation, reconciliation, and sharing, maybe people will say of us what they said of them in Antioch. Those are Christians. Thank you for your time and your good attention. I know I didn't give y'all an opportunity to make any questions or comments. I'm going to hang around here. If you want to talk about anything, just find me. And I'm so gracious to this group here for everything you've done for me, that you don't even know what you've done for me, the way people have been involved in my life. The first time I got held over a cop car was in front of, you know, Margaret Hammondtree's house. And we're always going to have that special connection, right? Thank y'all so much for your time and attention. I appreciate it.